Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 2, and then 12 through 17. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So, teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. And then turn, O God, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Irene. Our New Testament reading comes from one of my very favorite books, and Pastor Caroline's as well, the Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'm going to be reading from chapter 3, verse 20, on down to chapter 4, verse 1. And Paul writes this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we're expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord. Just a little over 300 years ago, the great hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote these words inspired by Psalm 90 that Irene just read for us. He wrote, "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." When we used to live in Florida, one of everyone's favorite things to talk about was, "Where are you from?" Because it was almost a given down there that everyone was from somewhere else, except for a very small handful of people who were actually born and raised on the west coast of Florida. I remember a wonderful woman named Mary Bell asking her where her home was. And she had just turned 100 years old, and we'd celebrated with her in the sanctuary. And I asked her where her home was, and she said, right away, in a beautiful Scottish accent, "Oh, my home is in Edinburgh, Scotland." She said, "I'm staying here in Florida, but my home is with Edinburgh." She had been living in Florida for 28 years when she said that. Home is that place where we belong. Home is a powerful concept, I think, in all of our collective memories. Memories might be happy and joyful or joyous or sometimes painful and difficult, but nonetheless, they're almost always important. Last month, I made a trip to my hometown, Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, because we had a high school reunion. I'd never been to one of those, and I thought, well, time's running out, so maybe I ought to try that. And it was great, but we took a tour of the high school, the old high school, and I looked out of one of the entrances, And there was my house. I grew up right across the street from the high school. There was my old house, full of memories. I see projects like the retaining wall my dad built in the front, the small Italian shrubs we planted 30 years ago or 50 years ago that are now as tall as the house or taller. It's memories of big dinners and family events and so much more. I wonder if you're thinking of some similar memories right now. What is it about that place that really makes it home? I also remember a few years ago, we were all confined to our homes for a period of time. It seemed like a very long period of time. Our home became our restaurant. It became our entertainment. It became our offices. For Caroline and me, it became two separate pulpits in upstairs bedrooms where we ran Sunday morning services for quite a long time. And my church knew that as soon as I started preaching, the dogs would start barking and there was no one to make them stop. So we all wanted to get back into our church home, though, didn't we? That was something that we really desired. I heard from so many church people, want to get back into my worship space, into our worship home. What is it about this place that you longed to return to? Well, not surprisingly, the Bible has some things to say about this concept of home. It's a powerful concept. Not surprisingly, it's an important, I think, spiritual concept as well. And it ties in with this observation of All Saints' Day as well, in a way. So let me share just three quick things. First of all is the biblical witness is over and over again that places are sacred. Places are sacred. Think about all the examples. The transcendent God becomes present in a place. In Genesis 12, God called Abram, and God told Abram, go to a place that I will show you. God took him to the land of Canaan. And so much of the Old Testament refers to places as sacred because it's promised to them by God in the Scriptures. And then the New Testament, the book of Acts, talks about Simon Peter, for instance, preaching in Rome, among other places, where he was martyred for that in Rome. If you've ever had that experience of going to that place and standing in St. Peter's Square or going inside the massive basilica and where the tomb is, it does feel like a sacred place. So many of us would say we feel that way about our church building, our sanctuary. It feels special. We all like to sit in the same place every week. And that's okay, because that is a place that we carve out for worship. Some of us have very funny stories about being out of town and deciding to visit a church, drop in on a Sunday morning, and accidentally sitting in someone else's pew. You ever had that experience? Usually you're politely informed that you'd be much more comfortable sitting over here, you know, somewhere else. By the way, if you ever go to find yourself in the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church down by the White House, some of you know they've preserved Abraham Lincoln's pew in that sanctuary that you can go and have a very special feeling sitting there. But we feel that a certain place is special to us, and that's okay. Places are significant. This sanctuary is significant, not in and of itself, but because its structure ideally helps us to focus on God's message for us. It's where we hear God's word. It's where we sing and hear hymns played, where we take time to meditate and focus on things that just for an hour a week that transcend our everyday life and struggle. Some of us have had life-changing insights here over the years, or major life milestones, or a wedding, or a special event. It really is a sanctuary. The Bible teaches us that places are sacred. So the second thing is, though, we all know this, it's people that make places a home. We're reminded of this so often, that it's the community that really makes the place special. And it's no surprise that the biblical witness also teaches that. In Philippians, which is probably my most beloved book of the New Testament, we see that Paul holds a special place for the church in Philippi. Probably not because of the beauty of their building, but because of the people that he holds in his heart. He calls them, and did you hear this in the scripture? He calls them his joy and his crown. Most people think it was the first really big such church that he founded. It was at the crossroads of important travel routes of the ancient world. But it is people that make the place. He says later in that chapter, he says, it is right that I keep you in my heart every day because you hold me in your heart. So that concept of home is where people hold us in their hearts. We never underestimate the power of being in the fellowship of believers. For Caroline and myself, one of our favorite professors was Dr. Charles Partee. She's probably told you stories about him. But he used to say, the best ministry that I have ever done is in the church supper, not in a lesson that I taught or a sermon that I preached. It's good to be reminded of that. People make the place. But probably thirdly and most importantly, our ultimate home, our eternal home, is found in God alone. I hope we've all experienced that truth. Paul says, your citizenship is in heaven. So this is the Sunday closest to All Saints Day, that was yesterday. And we remember those who have gone before us, those family members, maybe even we're thinking of founding members of this congregation, for example, or mentors, or friends. You know, when people in our family or church family pass away, the biblical witness tells of a room in our Father's house. Some translations say our Father's mansion, with a room prepared for them. That is the image of home once again. And Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. When I come, I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. That promise of home is both comforting and also hard to grasp sometimes. Yet we read the beauty and the promise of Psalm 90 when we heard, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our home, in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting. And with that promise and that truth also comes wisdom. Wisdom that the psalm writer wrote later in that passage, to find that home, to claim that home today, not just wait for eternity. The psalm asks God to teach us to number our days, to treasure each day, to rejoice, to be glad all our days, and also to prosper the work of our hands. This is the ultimate truth, I think. To know God is ultimately our home. Whether we're in a beautiful building, or we're alone in a room, or we're online somewhere, or we're out of town, or we're at work, or wherever. Jesus and the promises of the Psalms and the Scripture are what we can count on. He will hold our hearts in His hand. And we find that home, we can discover that all places are sacred. Sanctuaries and nature, kitchen tables, even Zoom rooms can be sacred. And we find that it's people that make places special. But ultimately, our true home is in God. That's what Isaac Watts meant when he wrote the words in the year 1719 that we're going to sing. He wrote, "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." May it be so. Thanks be to God.